chapter 2. Here in a second, before I read the scripture, I'm going to pray, and I want to ask each of you, if you will, please be attentive to my prayer, because inside the prayer, I'm going to ask that you do something, but only if you really want what I'm getting ready to pray. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you right now asking forgiveness of our sins. Individually, cooperatively as a church, God, we pray that you'd forgive us where we have failed you today, already, this past week, this month, this year, this past year. God, we know that your scripture says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I also in your midst. And Lord, what we're about to enter, God, I can't do this on my own. I feel your presence, and I know that you want to do something here, God, and I don't know what it is that you want to do, but I pray that your will would be done. So God, as a congregation, I want to ask, if you're here in the midst, if you want Jesus here right now, I pray that you'd stand. Lord, your word says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I also in your midst. And Lord, all those who are standing, I have my eyes closed, you know I don't know. But Lord, we want you here. Scripture tells us that you don't go where you're not welcome. And God, we welcome you here this morning. We felt your presence. We feel your presence. We know that you want to do something with this church this morning. So let our eyes be open. Let our hearts be open. Let our minds be open. Help us, the Lord, be receptive to your word, your message, and to who you are. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Please be seated. As this message is being preached, I would pray and ask that there wouldn't be any moving around. There wouldn't be any talking. I'm going to be quite honest with you. I told my deacons a few minutes ago, I don't know what God has in store this morning. I really don't. I have over 350 Sunday morning messages on my computer. I've preached through I don't know how many books that are recorded on my computer. As I sit and I finish the Revelation study that we're going to be going through tonight in Revelation chapter 8, and I entered the time of my study to start studying for this morning's message, I couldn't get past 1 John. Now, I preached last week on 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 9, through 10. And as I started moving ahead, I'd move very slowly because I could feel God wanting me to do something. And I'm honestly, Ricky, I really don't know what it is. I know where he wants me. I know the direction he wants me. I know the path that I'm getting ready to take is the path that he's put me on. But honestly, church, we're getting ready to see. If you will, look at 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. John records, "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. We know from this that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that they might be made, that it might be made clear that none of them belong to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you have knowledge. I have not written to you because you do not, because you do know it, and because no lie comes from truth. Who is the liar? If the one who denies that Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son can have the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father as well." Church, this morning, I want you to understand that you either have Jesus or you have nothing. You either have Jesus or you have absolutely nothing. Well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. You don't understand who I am and what I have. I don't care who you are or what you think you possess in your hand. If you do not have Jesus, you have nothing. Death is the great equalizer. It takes us all at the knees. We are all fit in the same size coffin. We are buried at the same depth. I don't care who you are, what you have, who you think you are. If you do not have Jesus, you have nothing. And the consequence is this. If you do not have Jesus, you will never have anything. You will never be anything, and you will suffer for all eternity. Well, that's just your opinion. Well, listen, I'm basing my opinion on the Word of God. What are you basing your opinion on? As we look at 1 John, I want us to see, first of all, what John Phillips writes about these small epistles that John wrote. John Phillips writes, John's writings are dated near the end of the first century, between AD 85 and 95. John was a very old man when he wrote and had ample time to weigh and to ponder his early experiences with the Lord and rise and spread of Christianity. In his day, heresy had already made deep inroads. John's epistles are characterized by sharp tones of black and white, no shades of gray in between. Things are either right or wrong, true or false, good or evil. It is either salvation or damnation, Christ or Antichrist, with no middle or neutral ground. John Westcott, scholar, was of the opinion that 1 John was the last book of the New Testament to be written. Supposing this is to be true, so then what contrast there is between the way the Bible begins and the way it ends? It begins with the words, "In the beginning, God," in Genesis 1:1, and ends, if Westcott is correct, with the words, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Church, as we understand who John is writing to, why he's writing it, and understand the day that he is living in is full of idols and idol worship, listen, you don't have to understand much of anything worldly or scripturally to know that the world that we live in, the day that we live in, is very close to the day that John's writing to this epistle in. I've never seen such worldliness. I've never seen so much inbred hatred towards one another in all my life. I've never seen people trying to climb a ladder that there's no top to. I've never seen a day where people try to accumulate so much and give God so little. I've never experienced a time in the church where people in the church will occupy and give their time to everything and everybody, every lodge, every organization, and give God just a few minutes of their time during the week. If you don't see the idolatrous relationship that this world has, you are blind. We give praise to people, possessions, bank accounts, but we don't shed a tear when we feel the Holy Spirit of God moving to service. Something's wrong. John is writing, and I want you to understand, we're going to hit four points real quick. He's writing to these people because he wants them to wake up. He wants them to experience revival. And there's a reason why. Some of you have in your Bibles, as I have my Bible, John chapter 2, verse 18, at the heading, it says the last hour. Well, why does it say the last hour there? Because John truly believed that he was living in the last hour. Well, what did he write? Well, let's read it again. He says, children, it is the last hour. Now, scholars debate whether he's talking about his life, because he was old. He was very old when he's writing this book, this epistle. Or he's talking about the end times. Now, if you stop right there, you could relate either or. But as you read forward, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about the day, the time, the hour in which he believes Christ is coming. He says this, children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. Well, what in the world is he talking about there? Because Scripture says there's only going to be one Antichrist, the one who is the great deceiver, right? He's the one who is going to come and he's going to desecrate the temple that has not been built yet. The one that's over there in the Gaza Strip, you know where the Dome of the Rock is right now sitting? And listen, I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not going to be a preacher who backs down because our country's being based to be Muslim sympathizers. Do you hear me? Where the Dome, listen. Where the Dome of the Rock is now sitting, the new temple for Israel, for the Jews, will one day sit. Well, you're no prophet. I don't have to be a prophet. Scripture says the Antichrist will desecrate it. If it's not there yet, it's going to be there. Amen? Listen, that's the Antichrist. John said two things. He said, the Antichrist is coming, but there are already many Antichrists. If you look that meaning up, the word meaning, it's a person who does not believe in Christ. Now, we're going to address it again here in a couple seconds at the very end. Well, who can that be? Anybody who denies Christ. Anybody who denies Christ. It goes back to the title of the message. Listen to me. You either have Jesus or you have nothing. What do you mean, Brother Kyle? You either have Jesus or you are cast in the lot with these antichrists. You are an antichrist. Well, hold on a second. I don't necessarily, you know, buy into Jesus, but I don't discount him either. I believe that he was a historical fixture. You are an antichrist. If you are not worshiping him, if you are not serving him, if you are not learning more about him, you are against him. And if you are against him, by definition, you are anti-Christ. It's quiet, isn't it? Well, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means you have no rewards coming your way. Hey, listen, live it up while you can. Drink everything you can drink, take everything you can take, smoke everything you can smoke, have every relationship you can possibly have. Live it up, man, because if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing when you take your last breath. You have nothing but more destruction. Live it up. I'm telling you, if I didn't have Jesus and I didn't feel the presence of God and he didn't reveal himself to me every day, as Romans 1:20 says, through his creation, I'd be living it up. Because this is it. This is it. There's nothing more to life than this. The only problem is there is. There's a lot more. What is the real point you're trying to get at, Brother Kyle? John's pretty earnest here in the first part of 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, isn't he? He's pretty earnest here. He's not backing down. He said, children, it is the last hour. This was 2,000 years ago. You can feel the urgency in his voice. You can see the determination in this scripture. If John was so determined then, how should we be today? John saying, look, this is all about to come to an end. You better listen. I'm not talking to ignorant people. I'm talking to people who are smart. Christians, you need to part ways. And you better be standing with Jesus, because if you're not standing with Jesus, guess who you're standing with? If you're not standing with him, you're standing against him. John's saying, listen, you need to get serious. If that was then, how should we be reacting today? He did not think the church age was going to last as long as it did. And church, I'm here to tell you, I don't think the church age is going to last more than what you think it's going to. Nothing else has to happen prophetically. I'm not waiting for any more signs. I'm waiting for a shout. I'm waiting for a trumpet to blow and God to call His church home. Brother Kyle, what are you saying? If you don't have Jesus, you've got nothing. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you are. But I do know this. God put this message here today for whoever you are here this morning. His Spirit is here this morning. You can feel the Spirit of God. Listen, a lost person could feel the Spirit of God in here this morning. And if you're here, you're here for a reason. You're here to hear this Word. If you've never accepted Him, listen, if you've been playing church and playing God, it's time to get serious. This is what John's writing this letter about. The time is near. Listen, fast forward 2,000 years. It's closer now. You better get ready. Well, what else did he say? He said this, verse 9. Well, let's the end of verse 18. We know from this that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that we might be made clear that none of them belong to us. What is that that we're seeing? What? Listen, I've read this scripture, I don't know how many times, Gary, and I've missed it. What you're seeing is, at one point, there was a group that was together. And some of them left. And had they been of this same group, they would have come back. But they didn't. So it was evident to John as he's writing that because they didn't come back, they weren't from us. They weren't amongst us. What happened? I believe what we saw there in Scripture is something we talk about. I talk about all the time. In the book of Acts, God created what? The church. Now, was it First Baptist Church? Was it the Holy Tabernacle, you know, Zion, so-and-so, you know, church that long with lions sitting up? No. What church was it? The church, His church, the bride, His bride. He created that church. What we see happening right here in 1 John is a group left the church, and we see a fragmentation. Well, how does that happen? Well, I'm right, you're wrong. You're wrong, I'm right. The way I believe in my theology is right. Your theology is wrong. We see a fragmentation taking place in people leaving and not coming back. We see a starting of a cult, or we see a starting of denominations. Listen to me. I don't know who you are here today, but being a Southern Baptist didn't save me. Being a Baptist doesn't save me. Listen, when people ask me, you know, you're a preacher, aren't you? I say, yeah, I'm a pastor. Well, what denomination are you? I throw my hands up quick. I'm a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, the resurrection. Hey, listen, I believe the table of contents, and I believe it all the way to the end of the map. So you know that blank page that you write on? I believe that's the Word of God too. I do. I'm a Christian. We see a fragmentation. And because this fragmentation's taking place, God didn't want it, but it happened. John's saying, listen, you better pay attention when you see this happening. Fast forward 2,000 years. There are over 100 different variations of the Baptist. We've got independent, we've got dependent, we've got codependent. We got, that's crazy. What's taking place? Listen, I'm a part of the church. I'm a part of the church. The Church of God. Now, we're Southern Baptist, and I'm not ashamed of being Southern Baptist. Don't get me wrong there. We support more missionaries than any other denomination in the world. But being a Southern Baptist does not save you. Brother Kyle, what are you saying here? If you do not have Jesus, you have nothing. Nothing. He goes on. Verse 20, he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. Who's he talking to? The readers that he is writing to. He says, you're not immature. You're listen, you have something special. You have an anointing from the Holy One. And you have knowledge. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Messiah? Do we have any liars in here this morning? Do you deny that Jesus is... Did the Scripture say a Messiah, Mark? No. It said the Messiah. And John's going to make it even a little more emphatic here in a second. Let's read on. He says, He is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son can have the Father. He who confesses the Son has the Father as well. What this means is you either have Jesus or you have nothing. You know, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in, you know, I have one of those coexist bumper stickers on the back of my car because I don't want to offend any culture, and I don't want to offend any denomination. Listen to me, church. We once had what's called in America the Christian Coalition, and we had a voice and we had a stand in anything that happened in America. We no longer have that voice, and it's because we decided one day we were going to try and coexist with everybody. Listen to me. When Christ died on Calvary's cross, that was a spit in the face to every other world denomination, every other deity who thought he was a deity. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. Well, listen, I just want to make sure. Brother Kyle, I want to make sure. I'll believe in Jesus. I'll wear a cross around my neck. But I'm going to go home, and I've got one of those Buddhist prayer bowls, and I'm going to tong on the side of it and roll it around. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to light me some incense because I just want to make sure. Listen, I'm going to read through the Quran because I just want to make sure. You know, they're the second largest denomination or cult in the world. I might miss out on something. Listen to me. Please hear me. You either have all of Jesus or you have nothing. Absolutely nothing. You don't play lukewarm with Jesus. You either give him all of your heart, you're either all in, or you're not in at all. Jesus will not take second place, third place, or first place. He is either first place or he is no place in your life. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you saying? I don't know how to say it any more frankly. I don't know how to put it any more plainly. Either you have Jesus in your life or you have nothing. You know, I get tired of listening and to mealy mouth, trying to say this as nice as I possibly can, to mealy mouth, half-hearted people who say they're Christians. And this is what they say. I just don't feel the presence of God. I've prayed and I don't hear any answers. I don't know what to do. Well, listen to me. When was the last time you got in His Word? Because I'm going to be honest with you. Listen, I've got my hand up. When I'm out of God's Word, I don't feel Him in my heart nearly as much. When I don't listen to the Word of God speaking to me, I don't feel like I've heard from God. How is it that you want to live like hell 6 days out of the week and pray to God in heaven, a righteous and a holy God, and have Him answer your prayers the way you want Him to answer the prayers? He's holy. He's righteous. It's His way or no way. Listen, there's a lot of things that I'd love to do as a pastor, but the Holy Spirit of God taps me on the shoulder and says, no, you can't do that. You can't touch that. You can't look at that. Why? Because I belong to God, not the world. John is trying to rescue these people. Help them to understand that they are living in the last days. Church, listen to me. You are living in the last days. You don't have much time left. Listen, I'm going to tell you as the old funeral home director used to tell, hey, listen, you need to get your life in order because God's going to soon call you home. Well, you don't know. You're exactly right. I don't know. But God knows. And it's not going to be any more 2,000 years. I can almost go ahead and guarantee you that. Church, you either have Jesus or you have nothing. My question to you this morning is this. Do you have Jesus? Do you really have Jesus? Do you really know the same Jesus I know? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Absolutely nobody looking around. The music's going to play here in a second, but I want to ask a question before the music plays. If you're here this morning and you know that you don't belong to the same Jesus I do, nobody's looking around, I want you to raise your hand and say, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I don't know Jesus the way you do. Will you raise your hand? Anybody? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Anybody else? Now, if you just raised your hand, what I'm about to do, I'm going to lead you through what's called the sinner's prayer. And I don't care what the world says. Listen, Scripture says that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, Scripture says, not me, Scripture says, you shall be saved. So if you just raised your hand, I want you to just pray this prayer as I pray it out loud. You pray it out loud wherever you are. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins and where I fail you. Right now, Jesus, I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. And God, I believe with all my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. Now, right now, please save me because I can't save myself. And use me for the rest of my life for your glory. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, as the music plays, listen to me. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant business with God, listen, if you meant business with God, I want you to come down here and take me by the hand and tell me you meant business with God. Scripture says if you're ashamed of Him, that He'll be ashamed of you. Take a step right now and tell the world, let the world know that you mean business with God. As the music plays, do you need to come? The altar's open.